It is on. I apologize. There's something going on with my microphone. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Phil. I thought he did a great job. Brenda and I were tuned in last week on Facebook, and he did a terrific job of winding up The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which was our Advent series. Now I'm going to start a new series for the new year in 2021. We're going to look at what it means to be church. And today we're going to focus on a topic of the fact that each of us are a part of the church. And each of us have been gifted, the scripture tells us, to serve Christ here in this world through the church. So I want you to imagine with me that here we are now in 2021,
working today, so there we go. Is that there? That's good. That's good. Excuse me. So we're now in 2021. It's going to be hard to get used to writing that. It's going to be new for our checks and new for the ideas. But 2020 was kind of a lost year to us. But let's think back 130 years. None of us were alive then. The year was 1891, and in this little town that was a pass leading people from the north, San Francisco and various places, into that little pueblo of San Fernando Valley that led to the Pueblo port town of Los Angeles. And these people who lived in Newhall wanted a church to thank and to praise God, to worship their God. They had been meeting as a Bible study in the Southern Hotel, but they wanted a little church that they could bring their children to, that they could teach them about Jesus. And they discussed, because as every little town, they had a smattering of different denominations. And they decided that they would either be Methodist or Presbyterian, depending on who they called as their first minister, whether he was either a Presbyterian or a Methodist. Well, you know history. We are Presbyterians. And that little town that met originally in the Southern Hotel created a little chapel. And, you know, for centuries, Jesus has been doing that with people. He's been calling people together to help bring change, to bring love to communities, to teach people how to care for one another and care for this world. And that's what this little chapel did. The only difference between then and now is there was a hitching post in front of the first chapel. But people have been coming to church, worshiping God, celebrating and raising families to know God, to share his love in this world. You see, change is always happening in our lives. We always are in a process of change. But we all have guiding principles that allow us, as we change, to do so with the Lord's help. Now, there are people in this church family that know probably more about the gifts of the Spirit than even I do. But I'm going to focus today on the gifts of the Spirit because that's what calls the people together as a body. And I'm going to read specifically from 1 Corinthians 12. You heard one of the passages last week that talk about the gifts in the church. But I'm going to read from the Message version of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 13, the word of the Lord. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone is. The variety is wonderful. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between the spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which He has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of His resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, His Spirit, where we all come to drink. Old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jews or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. May God bless the reading of His word. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we look and consider the many gifts that this church has through its members, through Your Spirit, as we look at what You have done and what You forecast to do through Your church, Jesus, we pray that we would see ourselves as vibrant and necessary parts of the totality of Your work in this community and in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, the last will and testament of Jesus Christ has been probated, and as a Christian, your name is in it. You have a gift. An inheritance. It's been given to you whether you claim it or not. And that's what I'm here to talk about today. You know, it's easy for us to fear the idea of spiritual gifts and to identify them. There are all kinds of ways to take classes and figure out what your spiritual gifts are. But the best way I've found is, what do you love? Who compliments you on what you do in this life? Those are the gifts that you live into. Because spiritual gifts are simply an enlivening of who God made you to be and a use to serve His Spirit. So, what does it mean by the term spiritual gifts? Well, it means that there are special abilities given to each of us by the Holy Spirit. A calling that is ingrained in us and is brought out by the Holy Spirit to serve God in this world. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities given to every Christian. You might say, I don't have a spiritual gift. Yes, you do. It might have not been awakened yet in you. But God has given you gifts to use to love Him in this world and to love the people that He loves, which is everybody. We all know people that have super individual talents, like I can't play an instrument like the band does. But an individual talent is a little different than a spiritual gift. You see, an individual talent is given to a great artist or with a paintbrush and a canvas. And people know these abilities. Some of us are better at painting than others. But we know that every talent that comes to us as individuals comes from God. The source is God. It says in Scripture, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James said that. It is God's desire that each of us would take whatever talent we have, whatever's available to us, and offer it to God and say, God, use me. Use my talent. Let me serve you. And I guarantee you, when you live into that, there will be joy and there will be peace that will follow. And what makes a spiritual gift distinct from a talent is that God owns the results. It is God that is glorified. A spiritual gift is an embodiment of the Holy Spirit. You know, one person might have a talent like public speaking, and they have no fear standing before a crowd and talking to a crowd. And they can be very persuasive. And that talent can be used to either some good end or to rile people up for some bad end. But a spiritual gift directly evokes the worship of God. It evokes a compassion within people to bring God's love to this world. You see, a person might have a talent like Everthirst in the band that they offer, or sewing like Pam Jenner does when she sews our beautiful banners, or of medicine that doctors and nurses have in this COVID experience. And our prayers go out for them when these hospitals are overloaded, but they continue to serve. They're using their abilities. But that's a little different than God's gift, because a spiritual gift erupts in people this sense that God is there with them. And as we use those gifts, and they come from various parts of Scripture, in the book of Romans, it's in Romans 12. It's in 1 Corinthians 12 as well, and in Ephesians 4 that Phil used last week, and 1 Peter 4. They are lists of specific gifts that are given. Ephesians lists 5. The gift of being an apostle, the gift of being a prophet, the gift of being an evangelist, the gift of being a pastor, the gift of being a teacher. But 1 Corinthians 12 lists additional gifts. Wisdom. Boy, our elders need wisdom to make decisions about this church. They need knowledge, which is another gift it's listed in 1 Corinthians 12. If faith and healing and miracles and prophecy and discerning the spirits and tongues and interpretation of tongues and helps and administrations. Romans 12 adds further ones, leadership, exhortation, giving, and mercy. You see, there are somewhere around 19 various gifts listed in Scripture. Do you know what gifts you are given? I've had so many people say, oh, I don't have a gift. And then they begin to serve in the church. And a gift develops. People begin to tell them, you have a special gift. And you're giving it to God. You know, these gifts are developed uniquely and individually by us. Some develop them by going through tests. And they say, well, I score high as an apostle, or I score low in service. And they are guided by who they really are. Some people have God tell them. Some are just drawn to their gifts because they are fulfilled by using them. In Ephesians 4, it says the gifts, the spiritual gifts are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And each of us have a responsibility to do that. And God gives us gifts not for our own sake. They're not to be hoarded. They're to be given. They're given for the sake of one another. Rick Warren once put it this way. He said, God gave me a gift, not for me, but for you. And God gave you a gift, not for you, but for me. If you don't use your gift, you're depriving me. If I don't use my gift, I'm robbing you. Wow. Wait, you're telling me that if I don't use the gift God gives me, I'm robbing the people of God. Wow. Well, didn't Paul always refer to the church as one body, a body of Christ? And it all has individual parts, hands and feet and eyes and mouths and all these parts contribute to what Christ does in the world. You see, we each one of us have a special service, a spiritual gift to assist us as we perform, as we accomplish what God has called us to do. Sometimes we have a tendency to refer to the ministry as our ministry, but really, it's God's ministry. God animates the parts of us. You know, there's a great expression in 1 Peter 4. Of the gifts of the Spirit. And Peter writes, and I'm going to read it in the Message version, be generous with the different things that God gave you, passing them around so that all get in on it. If it's words, let it be God's words. If it's help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything you do through Jesus. And he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. On course to the end of time. Oh, yes! Doesn't that sound beautiful? You see, our gifts are not given for us alone. Someone once likened it to an apple tree. That produces fruit, not for its own consumption, but for the consumption of the people that will go underneath it, gather the apples that fall, pick from the tree, and enjoy the fruit. Our gifts are given so that the world may be a better place. And you know what? We are all like the little girl who opened a Christmas present. She tore off the ribbon, she tore open the paper, she looked at the present, and then later on as she was playing with her family, she picked up the big red bow that was on the present, and she put it on her head, and she said, look, Daddy, I'm a present. You are a present. You're a present to friends, family, workforce, neighbors. You are a present to God as you serve God. So as we explore a little more what this church is about and how we go about things, think about your place. What is your place? What is God calling you to be a present for the world? Amen.